Steve Willits up in West Coast territory. Yes, we will, for Sound Live Sports Network. And Steve, a couple of games to tell us about. Let's start with Shorewood Montlake Terrace, and then we'll move on to a very powerful Edmonds Woodway team. How did Shorewood and Montlake Terrace go tonight?
Yeah, not a good night for Shorewood. They haven't won a game in over 2 years now, and tonight wasn't much different. Montlake Terrace, who desperately needed a win, and quite frankly, going into the night, they still had aspirations of maybe making the playoffs. Had a 30-point second quarter. They took a 38-8 lead at the half and ended up pulling away for a 50-14 victory, their highest point total of the year, and five different players scored touchdowns tonight. Montlake Terrace playing in that 2A bracket, which up here in District 1 and District 2 is a little bit awkward in that you have six different teams vying for four spots, and they essentially use an RPI system. So we weren't completely sure, even if they would have won tonight, how that would have factored in, but one of the teams ahead of them, Granite Falls, took care of that by beating Sultan tonight. So Montlake Terrace eliminated from playoff contention, but nonetheless, they get a nice win.
Absolutely, and a good way to wrap up the regular season. Now, how about Edmonds Woodway and Edward? Edmonds Woodway, definitely a team that's going to the playoffs.
Yeah, a team that's going to the playoffs, and they're going in on a very nice roll. Playing an Everett team tonight that has put up a lot of offense this year, and early on it looked like it was going to be your classic shootout. I think both teams scoring on their first two possessions. Everett was out to a 14-6 lead, I think, about 4 or 5 minutes into the game, and all of a sudden, Edmonds Woodway woke up. They scored the final 42 points of the half, jumped out to a 48-14 lead. Jaro Rouse, a sophomore wide receiver that just really kind of broke onto the scene the last few weeks, he had four touchdowns tonight. And Edmonds Woodway kind of cruising in the second half. They end up winning that game 55-20. And it's a team that's won six of their last seven games, a team that is going to get a home playoff game next week, more than likely against Lakes. So we'll see how they do.
And then how about the other teams in the 3A? What does their playoff matchups look like? Do we know yet?
Yeah, we're still waiting for things to shake out a little bit. Meadowdale is the number one seed, so they're going to play the number eight Metro, so perhaps like a Nathan Hale or a Ballard or somebody like that. We know that Squalicum is the number two, so they're going to get the Metro number five. Squalicum team that looks very good right now, too,
yeah.
And I think the AP poll had them ranked in number two. And then you get Edmonds Woodway at the number three spots. Our number four team is Ferndale, who's going to get one of the teams down from the SSC, maybe like a Capital or somebody along those lines. And then we've got, I think Linwood ended up pulling out a victory over Shorecrest, which I just found out about a few minutes ago. So that would put Linwood in the number five spot against perhaps a Capital, or actually, I'm sorry, that would be a Rainier Beach or whoever gets the number two spot in Metro.
Mm-hmm.
And then going down the line, 6, 7, and 8, number 6 is Oak Harbor, who is going to get Timberline next week. And Oak Harbor defeated Marysville Pilchuck 60-0 last night in the rain. And then we've got some interesting things going on. We've got a couple, at least one Kansas City tiebreaker this weekend.
Nice.
Stanwood, Marysville Pilchuck, and Arlington are going to get together tomorrow at noon to determine who gets the number 4 spot in the north. The winner of that gets to play a crossover game on Tuesday at Snohomish. And then for the 4A, I think we might, depending on how things shake out tonight, and we're still waiting on some results, a very good likelihood that we're going to have a three-team Kansas City tiebreaker on Monday between Glacier Peak, Mariner, and Jackson, potentially for the 3, 4, and 5 spots. That depends on if Jackson was able to beat Mariner earlier tonight.
What was your take on the blowout win by Lake Stevens over Monroe today? Was that does that surprise you how much they won, 42-3?
In one of the newspapers up here where I make predictions, I predicted Monroe to win that game, and I'll be honest, I thought Monroe was going to win rather handedly. I was shocked. I mean, when I first saw that score, I had to do a double take. I'm not overly shocked in the sense that Lake Stevens has been dominating every team they've played this year,
mm-hmm.
but so has Monroe, and I think Monroe has even maybe been a little more impressive with some of their scores, and the Monroe team is such a senior team in that you had so many juniors playing last year, and this was kind of the year they were building up for, and I think we thought Lake Stevens might have been taking a little bit of a step back. They were the three-time defending league champs, but
right.
You lose Jacob Eason last year, you lose a few other weapons. We thought maybe next year was going to be their big year. You know, they play a junior quarterback in Connor Bardu, and a lot of his weapons are juniors, so we just kind of assumed up here that maybe this was Monroe's year and that Monroe was going to get it done. So for them to lose and then to lose 42-3, I was shocked.
Yeah, that's amazing. I was shocked as well. Hey, great stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Dick.
You bet. Steve Willits.